And combined with that, it has this climactic part of it. This is the big, as in music, it would be the magnum opus. This is what it's all about. The denouement of Jesus Christ. All that he has come for. We're going to be visiting that today a lot. Because if we don't keep our focus on that, this sinew will not make sense to you. I'm going to ask you another question. All the world's a stage and all the men and women merely players. Who said that? We have a lot of people who are a lot more literate than I am. Mr. William Shakespeare said that. So this stage, all the world is a stage and all the men and women are merely players. Shakespeare said that, but the Word of God is where that originally came from. If you wouldn't mind, turn with me to Ephesians chapter 3, 9 and 10. All the world's a stage and all the men and women are merely players. We live in a very scripted world. It tells us actually in the Bible that before God breathed the star into existence, that he has written every particular story in this room. There's a script and there's a stage. There is a plot and there are players on this stage. There is a theme and there's an audience. There's an epic struggle going on. Even in this room right here, there's a great battle. There is a denouement. And then very, very soon, the curtain is going to fall. And this whole thing is going to be over before we know it. There is a stage. Ephesians chapter 3 is quite a stage. It's crazy wonderful. He's talking about verse 8, the Gentiles getting to see the unsearchable riches of Christ. He's talking about his being able to preach to them as well as to the Jews. And then he says, and to make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the ages has been hidden in God, who created all things through Christ Jesus. So who created everything? Hello? Who created everything? Jesus Christ. It says that God created everything through who? Jesus. So Jesus is the star breather. He's the one who has created everything. And by the way, this is an amazing stage because it goes on to say what I'm saying. He created all things through Jesus Christ to this intent. Why did he create all things, seen and unseen? All things. To the intent, for this purpose. This was created for this purpose, that the manifold wisdom of God might be made known or revealed by the church to the principalities and powers in heavenly places. We have an amazing audience and we have an amazing stage. People say, I don't know, when I look at the universe and I realize how small the earth is, it makes me feel really, really, really infinitesimally small. But God set that entire universe up for you and I to take the stage. That should tell you something, right? That should tell you that God is intensely involved in your story. He made this crazy stage. And it also should tell you that God is what? Maybe this thing's a little bigger than you. He spoke it all into existence. He upholds all things by the word of his power. We live in a crazy, beautiful stage. And to go out in creation this time of the year and to live in this place, it is so beautiful. But the denouement, the reason for all of this, to this intent, was that the church could take the stage and make known to the principalities and powers the manifold wisdom, the love of God, the plan of God, that which was hidden from ages past and is now is exploding into reality. I mean, think about it, by the way. When you think of principalities and powers, that's not people, right? So for ages past, all the angelic beings and all their different layers and all their different types that we don't know anything about, they existed with God. And then God made mankind. And we're different than all of them, right? And we're not beasts, although sometimes my wife wonders, right? Amen? I mean, teenagers, maybe. But we're not. But we're not angels either, unless you got grandchildren. We're not. But we are made in the image of God. That is the highest privilege of any of all of God's created beings, to be made in the image of God. So when all those principalities watched the image bearers of God fall in sin, they knew just how far we had fallen. And the great mystery was, oh God, you made these beings in your image, which means they are eternal. They cannot die. And now they're fallen. And there's waiting for them your wrath. They knew that. Oh God, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? And for all that time, ever since the beginning, ever since the fall, there's been this wonder of what is God going to do? And then, on that day, when Jesus was born, and he began to unfold his plan, the angels began to celebrate. And they were sent to earth, and they celebrated right in front of the shepherds and said, this wonderful thing has happened to you, has been born this day in the city of Bethlehem. What? A Savior. Emmanuel. They began to see the great mystery unveiled, the gospel truth. They began to see the act started to come together. The whole thing began to come to its fruition. It all began to make sense. Jesus, the second part of the Trinity, was going to become the Lamb slain, and he was going to take on the very wrath of God. It was beginning to come true. It was beginning to happen right in front of them. The story started to make sense because he was going to come and build what? His church. He was going to come and build his church. And you and I are part of that. You and I are part of that. I mean, that's such a cool story. When you think of the expanse of the universe in this stage, you think of the backdrops and the lights and the special effects in the audience that's watching, and you and I are in this cauldron of sin called this world, and he moves into our individual stories, and he opens up the eyes of our understanding, and he calls us out of darkness into his light. We were dead. We were exceedingly dry. He raises us up in life in Christ. And what's he building? His church. The great dunamis is this the same reason that Jesus came to die on the cross. He came to seek and save the lost. And when he's going to leave, he told his disciples, I am going to build my church. Amen? He's still doing it. People, does this start to sink in a little bit? That this story that we're involved in is way, way, way bigger than you. It's bigger than you. Principalities and powers look on in wonder. This great drama. They wondered what was going to happen and then began to see the truth. It began to dawn on them as Jesus came into this world. And now they watch as soul by soul the kingdom of God comes on earth. The denouement is that he is building his church. He's still building his church. How's he going to do it? How is he doing it? I will put sinews on you. I will put sinews on you. How is he going to take living stones and build his church? He's going to make them alive. He's going to resurrect you from the dead, and then he's going to put sinews on you. We get it, right? I heard a bunch of sheep just bump the fence. Huh? What was that? He is building his church. He takes, because sin separates, we were dead. We were dead and we were scattered. And he raises from the dead and he puts us bone to bone, alive together in a great collision. We are knit, fashioned, composed, joined, built together according to his plan and his pleasure. And then he says, I will put sinews on you. And in this obscure phrase in Ezekiel, we see an image that we see lived out around us all the time in the beauty of the church. But we also see something else, and it needs to resonate deeply in our hearts. You and I are not free. He did not say, I will raise you up, I will give you life, and you and me make a majority, and you're free to do whatever you want. That's not what he said, right? He said, I will build my church. And I'm not just going to put you together, I will put sinews on you. If that begins to feel restrictive to you, you're starting to get it. I will raise the dead. I will give you life, but you are not free. But isn't that just the truth? I mean, isn't that just plain and simple truth? How many of you know that you've never been free? How many know that? I've never been free. You know, when Jesus said, he that will preserve his life will lose it, but he that will lose his life for my sake will find it, he's just speaking the truth. How many of you know that you can't preserve your life? How many know that? You cannot preserve your life. Your life was not your idea to begin with. Your heart doesn't beat by the volition of your will. Why does your heart beat? Because he created you. And the scripture says that in him you live and move and have your being. And your very heart beats by the act of his will. You are not your idea. It wasn't your life to begin with. It's not yours to preserve. It's only yours to screw it up. Right? And so this whole idea of freedom, the scripture says you're either a slave to Jesus or a slave to two other things, your flesh and Satan. But you're not free. But what he's acknowledging, what he's saying here is, I'm going to put you in this, and according to my pleasure, I will put sinews on you. Here's a question. Will you submit to Jesus Christ as Lord? Because that's what it starts to come down to very quickly. Will you, who claim that Jesus is Lord, live in submission to Jesus as Lord? So let's look at this sinew, because again, we're the ones that get to flesh this revival out. This Old Testament miracle, it's nothing compared to what we get to live out. Let's go to Ephesians. We looked at this morning. Ephesians chapter 4. What sinew holds the body together? Ephesians chapter 4. Again, the whole book up till now is talking about the miraculous building of the body of Christ and how that we're put together as a holy habitation of God in the Spirit. Chapter 2, we're made alive together, we who are separate. Again, this whole intense energy of God building his church. Verse 16, for whom the whole body joined and knit together by what every joint supplies according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. And this word joint is the word for ligament. Now, a little biology lesson here. A tendon is what joins muscle to muscle. A ligament is what joins bone to bone, okay? And so, in the New Testament, we are joined together. The ligaments are joined together in the body of Christ. It talks about it being the bond or ligament of perfection, which is it's love. And he said, I will put sinews on you. He joins us together, and then he puts, just like that, he puts sinews on you. In other words, it's whose idea? Okay? And it's not optional. If you're going to be alive in Christ, you're going to be alive together. I said it this week. If you're not alive together, the Bible says you're not what? You're not alive. People say, well, I love Jesus. I don't love them. I love Jesus, I go to different places to fellowship, but I don't really need the body. Listen, if you don't love the saints, 1 John, the whole book says this, then your faith is a lie. That's intense. If you're not alive together, you're not alive. He didn't come, his denouement is not to build you, it's to build what? Now, make this personal. You know why the church is so beautiful to him, why he's so invested in it? Because the church is his what? His bride. My son, who just probably might be one of the newest married guys here, probably didn't think he was ever going to get married, and then along came this miracle, and last fall he got married, and so he's like, yes, the bride. A little energy there. I mean, I was like, whoo! But that ain't nothing compared to Jesus' energy. Nothing compared to he's building his bride. You say, I love Jesus, but you don't love his bride. My friend, you're not getting the bigger picture. You're made alive together in the body of Christ, and you are held together by a command he puts on you, and we need to be okay with that. John 13, he had walked with his disciples for 3 years, and they were not listening, and they finally, on that night that he was going to be betrayed, got to a place of brokenness where they would hear the word of God. And the end of verse 33 is one of the most insightful corners in his whole walk with the disciples. A few words, so now I say to you. There comes a time where you finally get to a place where you're going to listen to Jesus as your Lord. They were following Jesus as a Savior, but they had not gotten to the place of surrendering and listening to him and receiving his word as their Lord. Jesus said in Matthew 7, this is a tragic window as he looks forward to a horrible time at the judgment where many are going to come to him and say, Lord, Lord, and he's going to say, depart from me, you who practice what? Lawlessness. And he goes on to say that the wise man's house stands because he what? Hears and obeys. And so what he's saying is that if you want your house to stand, and ultimately at the judgment seat, you have to be those who hear and what? Obey. And what is his command for these people? He's now got them to the place where they're willing to listen to him as the Lord. Because many people say Lord, and he's not. But now they're willing to listen. And this is what binds us all together. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. And by this, all who know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. It's the bond of perfection. And who puts it on us? Jesus. And is he making it as, this is my suggestion for you, because you really need to do this. This is the best case scenario in your life. And if you can stand it, and if that person's okay, and it doesn't cost you too much, is that what he's saying? No, this is my commandment for you. Ligaments don't have give to them. If they do, you spend time at Hamilton Physical Therapy. I know, I spend my life there because I got ligaments falling apart. There's no give to them, or you're in trouble. In Matthew 22, they were trying to trap Jesus with questions, and they said, what is the greatest commandment of all? Remember what he said? He said, the first is to love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your mind and all your soul. And then he said, the second is like it, and that is to love your neighbor as what? As yourself. And he said, on this commandment, he uses the word hinges or swings, all of the law and the prophets. And then, finally, his last night with them, he said, I'm going to give you a new commandment. And he goes on to tell them how that this is the new hinge in which everything swings. This is the new ligament that holds all of this together. It's movable, but it's not optional. The new hinge is that you are commanded to love one another. And for those that are new here, I want to go through this again. By the way, this is something that as a church, we need to be really good at teaching. Why is it new? Because it was never before possible. He goes on to explain why it's new in John 14. Beginning in verse 15, he says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. So what's the operative word right there? Keep. If you love me, you'll keep this commandment to love one another. It's not optional. You say you love Jesus, keep that command. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper that he may abide with you forever. And what's he talking about there? What's going to happen soon? Pentecost, right? The Holy Spirit is going to come. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be where? See, before Christ died on the cross, I don't want to get too much theology here, but until his blood was shed, there would be an outpouring of the Spirit of God, but it was never like it was after his blood was shed, because after his blood was shed, the high priest himself would go into the temple in us with his own blood, cleanse us, and make us what? Holy, fit for a king, so that he could dwell there. And so now this miracle of his blood was about to come, and he's looking forward to the day when the Holy Spirit of God would come and live in people. And he goes on to say all this, I will not leave you orphans, I will come to you. Who's going to come and dwell inside of us? Jesus. The reason this is a new commandment is it was never possible before Pentecost and before the cross. And then he goes on to explain it again. A little while longer and the world will see me no more, but you will what? You will see me. Because I live, you will what? You'll live also. What Paul say? For me to live is Christ, right? The great mystery, Paul said, is what? Christ where? In me. The kingdom of God is Christ in us. At that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. Isn't that beautiful? That's just stunningly beautiful. That's the kingdom of God. To you, even as I say those words, has been given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. And so now, that other commandment, which he said, you got to love God and you got to love people, has now been folded into one. So now when I love the saints, I'm loving who? That's what he goes on to say in the next verse. And he who has my commandments and keeps them, what's his commandment? Love the brethren. Love the church. Love the church. Love those people who are born again. He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. Why? Because when I love you, when you're a part of this great miracle, I'm loving him because Christ is in you. You get that? Now, why is that new? Because it wasn't even possible before Pentecost. But you see why that's so critical to us in the body of Christ? He binds us together with this command to love one another, and that's what holds the body together. Because again, the great denouement of Jesus, he's not building you, he's building what? He's building the church. It's a bigger story than just you. It's a bigger story. And this law of Christ, as it's referred to in the rest of the, in different parts of the New Testament, the bond of perfection. 1 John says that when you do this, you're walking in the light. Jesus said if you keep this, and he gives you this list of promises, it all hinges on this thing. Will you walk in obedience to Jesus Christ as your Lord? And as he describes this love, lay down your life for one another. And then he uses a word that just explodes in reality. And it explodes in a relationship. He didn't say if you obey my command, he said if you what? Keep. See, keep is a relationship. It's not just me keeping a relationship with you. No, that's not the most important part. It's me keeping relationship with Jesus Christ. See, in order for me to continue to love you and walk in obedience, I do that in the presence of my King. Hupomeno. In submission, meno means abide. And by the way, what's the English word for that? Does anybody remember? What's that? Endurance? Perseverance? Under hupomeno means submission, abide. Submission, abide. Submission, abide. That's where keeping comes from. Jesus is not Lord to me by my lips. Many are going to come to me and say, Lord, Lord. It's going to be a common problem. It's going to be a problem that condemns a lot of people to hell. Please hear this. Many are going to come to me and say, Lord, Lord. He's going to say, depart from me. I never knew you. If you're going to know Jesus and have a saving faith, you need to know that he's Lord because you are living a lifestyle of submission under him in obedience to his command to love the brethren. Keeping is a relationship. I need to ask you very simply, is Jesus Christ your Lord? And it's a sincere question. That same text in Matthew 7, let's go there and read it. There are a lot of people who have a faith in Jesus, but they're not living a transformed life, and they're caught in this believing in Jesus, but they're not living a transformed life. A lot of people have a Savior. A lot of people have a Savior. But this idea of I will knit you into a body? No. Jesus, this is a window into a very tragic event. Matthew 7:21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, many are going to say to Jesus, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, done many wonders in your name? Let me ask you a question. Are they believers in Jesus? The answer is yes. And they're proclaiming his name. And I want to tell you that I believe sincerely that most of these people have had amazing encounters with Jesus Christ. They believe that he died on the cross for them. And they're preaching. I did this personally, but I wasn't surrendered to him. It wasn't until I heard John MacArthur way many years ago challenge me with, is Jesus Christ your Lord? And see, there's where the crux is. I liked being lifted from the dead, but surrendering my will to him, I will put sinews on you, Ted. I will bind you in the church. And you, if you are going to be my disciple, you're going to have to keep this. You have to stay under me. You're going to live with me as your Lord. Now, every part of my flesh fought that. Didn't want that. I wanted a Savior. but I didn't want somebody as my Lord. It's American Christianity. What is it, 70% of Americans claim they're saved? I want to tell you that's not and cannot be the truth with the fruit of this country. Many, many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, they will have done these sensational things. And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. There's been a breakdown. We do not teach the truth that in order to walk with Jesus, you have to submit to his plan. And when you surrender your life to him, he will put sinews on you. And you need to be like this. Yes, Lord, here I am. And you need to keep it. I need to ask you some simple questions. Because this place in Ephesians, which we didn't look at much, said that by what every joint supplies, so is it him putting the command to love, or is it you providing the love that keeps the church together? Which is it? The answer is yes. The answer is yes. He puts the command, we submit to that, and in obedience we begin to do it, and then he supplies what? The grace to continue. But we have to continue and continue to keep throughout every season of life that commitment. We live it as a lifestyle. I need to ask you, can your sinew be trusted? Can your love and obedience and commitment and faithfulness be trusted? Is your part of the body a part of the body that causes great pain to the rest of the body? Because nothing's more painful than bone on bone. And if you're not bound together by the ligaments of God, if the ligaments are torn, I mean, how many of here have had a torn ACL? Yeah, you know that when that happens, it's bone to bone, right? It hurts. That's the biggest pain, is the bone contusion. Can your ligament be trusted? Or is it a great source of pain? We are joined, knit, formed, fashioned, built together by God. It's the same language as in a marriage. And yet so many times in the church, I hear people speaking words of divorce, speaking words of emotional blackmail. If you don't teach me what I want to teach or speak what I want to hear, if you don't give me what I want, what's the blackmail? I'm what? I'm out of here. I'm out of here. It's emotional blackmail. They aren't giving me what I want anymore, so I'm out of here. If you did that in a marriage, how long would you stay married? You just wouldn't. You just wouldn't. And yet I want to tell you that when it comes to the language of Scripture, there's way more language about the intense nature and involvement of God in you being knit in the body than there is in your own marriage. Way more. And yet, there's so few people willing to submit when he says, I will put sinews on you. In closing today, I just want to tell you that I am very thankful for the stage in which we live. We live in an amazing place. I mean, I was raised in the mountains, and I love to spend time in the mountains. And I love to spend time, you know, one of my favorite things is to be set next to a high mountain stream and hearing it, seeing it, feeling it, smelling it. Whew, it's so cool. I love our stage. Creation utters speech to our soul. But I need you to know there are a lot of people that talk about the mountains being their church. I need to say, really? Really? The great Tenuma. Jesus is building his church of living stones. And if you love him, Jesus said, you will keep the commandment. You will keep the commandment to continue throughout every season, whether it be hunting season or fishing season, smoke season, which is coming upon us, you will keep his commandment to love the brethren. We are those who are bound by a commitment to our Lord and submission to him. And eventually, we're happy about it. I say it just like that. Because initially, you might be like, oh, that's what? That's hard. That's work. That means I got to sacrifice. Uh-huh. Yeah. Are you living in submission to the great King? Are you living in submission? Here's a scenario. If in submission to the great king, the great builder of the church, if he says to you, his fellow worker, one of his faithful warriors, I want you to slow down. I want you to go sit by that stream. Come tabernacle with me. Can he do that? But it's always what? For what reason? Always for the same reason, to build his church. It's not so that I can go be alone with him and finally get to the place where I don't need them. No. When he builds his people, he builds his people up to do the work of his ministry. Please be careful that you don't change who he is so that you can do what you want to do. So many people want a savior, a healer, a provider. So very, very, very few really want to surrender to him as Lord. We're going to have a closing song, and this song is very simple. It's an old hymn, and I just love it. But I want to ask you today, we as a church need to be way more responsive to what God is dealing with in our hearts. And I want you to, my heart, and I know the heart of Jesus today, is he doesn't want a single person here to stand with the many before him that would say, Lord, Lord, when he's not Lord. He doesn't want anybody in this place, he doesn't want to say to anyone, you who practice lawlessness. Do you realize what that is saying? You who live a lifestyle of saying, no, it's my life. At the same time saying, I believe in Jesus. I'm good to go. That's practicing lawlessness. Do not be deceived. Do not be deceived. That house will come crumbling down. There has been a gospel preached in this country for decades of a great big Savior and an itty-bitty Lord. You can't preach a bigger Savior than Jesus Christ is. But the name above every name, in which every knee will bow and every tongue will confess, is Jesus Christ. And they will confess him as what? As Lord. Because that's the crisis. There is where faith has its crisis point. Will you surrender your very will and your future? Will you let him indeed bind you in a church where you have to lay down your life and keep doing it until you go home? Father, I thank you for your word today. And God, I pray that your kingdom would come here in this place, that your will would be done here in every heart, every single one of us fully surrendered to what you have already joined together, that we would willfully, happily trust you with putting sinews on us and binding us by your command to love one another. We would live in that kind of wholehearted surrender. We would keep in the presence of majesty. We would keep this commandment because you are awesome. You are king. You are the Lord of lords. And it's what you've commanded us to do. God, I pray. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord, to glorify you today as living sacrifices. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. As we're just working through this song, if it's not your prayer, if God has convicted you of, well, you just haven't lived that life of being vitally linked. You maybe you were loving for a while, but something happened and you quit. Or maybe you've been like me. I was that rugged spirit. I wanted Jesus as my Savior when I finally saw what he did for me, but I didn't want to give my life to no bunch of people. I lived that way for quite a while. He wasn't my Lord, but he was my Savior. I know how to do that. I was that guy. And I was even preaching that. I was telling people about it. And then I realized what I was doing. And I came and said, Lord, forgive me. Forgive me, Lord. Here am I. You can take this life and do whatever you want with it. Knit me. Take me. Use me. And ever since, I've endeavored to keep his commandment. to lay down my life for you. And he has borne much fruit. I want to challenge you today. Don't go anywhere in between. Don't negotiate with God. Get on your face and say, here am I. You are Lord. Amen.